of precious Father this morning. We know that your presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit will all make the difference. We invite the ministry of the Holy Spirit at this very moment that you will speak in me, with me, in spite of me, but let your voice be heard. Lord, preaching of your word is the work of the Holy Spirit. But allow us that we may work with you. May your name be exalted and all the glory return to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. I entitled the sermon this morning, Your Christian Influence. My Christian influence, our Christian's influence. To a book of Samuel, chapter 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23. In the Time magazine issue, May 8, 2006, dedicated column to those people who has most influence, entitled People Who Shape Our World. I look at that issue and none of those people listed there with their pictures and their profile, I never heard of that, about them before. That question came to my mind. How did the Time Magazine 100 elected those people to be on their list of people who shape and influence our society? I discovered that Time Magazine sent out their reporters interview local successful people and wrote out a brief summary about their success and how they contribute into the community and society. And they based it on their website, time.com. And they invite their subscribers to read, and they have to vote so they can rate who's the most influential or successful person. And that's how they come up with that list. There are two reasons the Time magazine is successful in listing the people of most influence and shape our community. Because the public attracts to the people of very success. They would like to know about the secret. They want to know about how they arrived to their success and how they have that influence. And second reason is a service. It's for the public to read about them and be inspired by the life of those people. Our sermon this morning is entitled Your Christian's Influence, Our Christian Influence, My Christian Influence. If the Time magazine reporters select you to be on their list of the most successful, influential people, how would you be rated as a successful Christian? Would they be interested in the secret of your Christian success? I wonder. But in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, as it was read this morning, there we find the final song or the final poetry written by King David before his son Solomon became a king and before King David died. That's the final or the last song that ever written by King David. This final song of David is a prophetic, it has a prophetic nature. It predicts the success of the future kingdom to come. He also summarized the life story of David, it revealed the secret of his success as an influential leader of Israel. Do you know the secret of David's success that he experienced the power of the saving grace of God? The secret of David's great success, he experienced daily the saving grace of God. Chapter 23, verse 1. It says, these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, the son of Jesse. The oracle of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, Israel's singers of songs. The line that I would like to point out is that the oracle of the man exalted by the Most High. As I read and study and meditate, some Bible students refer to that point to the history of how God called David as a shepherd boy to be the most influential leader of Israel. David was just a boy, but God called him. You may remember the story when Samuel was told to go to Jesse's house and pick one of his sons to be the next king, the anointed king of Israel. The seven brothers lined up, and the prophet was impressed. But the Bible tells us, verse 7, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, you know this, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at where? Looks at the heart. God called the shepherd boy. He was nothing in comparison to his seven forsake statues of his brothers. He was nothing in the eyes of his father and the prophets, but he was somebody in the eyes of God. Why? Because his heart was right. God looked at the heart. Not the statue, not the outside appearance. That is the saving grace of God. We may appear nothing to the eyes of the world, but if we're willing to trust God, we are somebody in His eyes. The experience of David, saved and delivered by the saving grace of God. Only three stones. God used him to defeat the giant Goliath. As he was singing, as he was entertaining the king, God delivered him from the wrath, the anger of the king, escaping an inch. While he was hunted in the wilderness, God delivered him. That is the saving grace of God. David never forget the experience of how God delivered him. recognized that he was just nothing. But in the eyes of God, he was somebody. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The saving grace of God makes nobody who learn to trust in God to become somebody in the eyes of God. That's the saving grace. Isn't that wonderful? We may not make it to the list of the most influential people of the Time magazine, but if we experience the saving grace of God in our life daily, we are somebody. A 9-year-old little girl, she was in fourth grade. She learned that she's short of $2.16. She needs $2.16 more to buy extra material to complete her science project. So her friend in class told her, "Hey, you can write to Bill Gates. He has money." She wrote a note to Bill Gates to borrow $2.60. She gave the notes to her mother to find the address of Bill Gates and to send it to the mail. A couple of weeks later, the 9-year-old received a surprise visit from Mr. Bill Gates in her tiny little town. Bill Gates met with this fourth grader. He gave her $2.16 and even pledged that she will build a new science lab center for that school. She was nobody, but she became somebody when she asked and trusted that somebody cared. That is the saving grace of God. That's the secret of David's most successful, influential when he was a king of Israel. The questions I would like to explore: how did he experience the saving grace that made him so influential that even his mighty men stick with him? In the first verse, 2 Samuel chapter 23, at the end of the first verse, you notice the oracle of a man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by God of Jacob, and then it says, Israel, singer of songs. Did you know David experienced the saving grace of God by having an attitude of thanksgiving and praises? Most of his songs express the humility of his heart and his communion and his relationship with God. Most of songs and poet of David, it reflect the essence of his relationship with God. He uplifted God, but himself, he humbled himself. John chapter 12 verse 32, when I am lifted from the earth, I will draw all men unto who? Unto myself. The attitude of thanksgiving and praises is the attitude of humility. When we come to worship the Lord, we not come here to exalt ourselves, are we? We come here to uplift God, but to humble ourselves before the Lord. The attitude of thanksgiving and praises reflect a humility. It illustrates clearly the Maasai tribe in the West Africa. Some of you visited that group. I have a chance to visit the Maasai tribe in Africa. Has an unusual way of saying thank you. Translators tells that when the Maasai express thanks, they bow their head, put their forehead on the ground, and say, "My head is in the dirt." That's how they say thank you. Could it be when we give praises and honor to God that we uplift Christ but humble ourselves in order that we experience the closeness of God in our lives? Psalms 19 verse 14, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." The attitude of thanksgiving is an expression of a deep meditation of the heart that is touched and moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. To experience the saving grace of God, we need to have the attitude of praises and thanksgiving. Lift up Christ up high. Bow our head down low. And let the moving of the Holy Spirit experience His relationship with us. And that happens when we spend times with the Lord. David spent times out in the field just playing his harp, an expression of his relationship with God. I would like to submit our Christian's influence. Our Christian influence can be so powerful that attracts the world when we experience the saving grace of God with an attitude of thanksgiving and praises, lifting Him up, humble ourselves, and let the moving of the Holy Spirit manifest it in our lives. And the world will know that we can be a most successful people in the hands of God. Not only that David experienced the saving grace by the attitude of praises and thanksgiving, but also, if you look at verse 3 and 4, "The God of Israel spoke, the rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over man in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise, on a cloudless morning, like a brightness after rain that brings the crash from the earth." When one rules over people with righteousness and with the fear of God, we will be like
the light of a sunrise in the morning.
My friend, this morning, to rule is to exercise authority. To rule is to control. To rule is to have responsibilities. To rule is to be a faithful steward. Could it be to rule is to exercise our responsibility as faithful as stewards, serving in the fear of God? Where do we exercise our authority the most? At home, sometimes, most of the time. We are called to exercise our responsibility as faithful steward, serving in the fear of God. And we will be like lights on the mountain that attracts people. That's how our influence will be like if we let God rule and if we let ourselves be responsible stewards. It's interesting, the whole life of David, it reflects that character, characteristics. You may remember the experience of David. He was hunted by Saul. And him and his mighty men, they hid right in the inner side of the cave. And Saul came just lay before them. His men said to him, God has given you your enemy. Get up and take his life. Here's the experience of David. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 5. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off the corner of his robe. He said to the man, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hands against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. With these words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. He ruled, he led under the fear of God. When he saw his enemy, he saw the face of God. And that was a lesson to learn for the mighty men that followed David. Did you know the result? Those men stick faithfully with David until the end. Why? Because they saw their master exercise ruling in righteousness and in fear of God. Our Christians can be an attractive influence to the world when we exercise faithful responsibility as faithful stewards, serving in the fear of God at home, at church, and our workplace. People will see something different in us because God is with us. The same chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 13 to 17. There you see the experience when David longed to have a water from the well in Bethlehem. The Bible tells us the Philistine camped around the well, allowed no enemy, allowed nobody to break through the enemy. But when the mighty men's of David heard about the longing of their master, I long to have a water from the well in Bethlehem. The scripture tells us, David longed for a water and said, "Oh, that someone will get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." Verse 16. So the three mighty men broke through the Philistine line, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. And David said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this," he said. "Is it not the blood of men who went up to risk their lives?" David did not drink the water. Instead, he gave it to the Lord as a drinking offering. An example of someone who lived under the fear of God. And it was a learning lesson for those around him. And they stick with David faithfully. Why? David exercised his faithfulness, exercise responsibilities as a faithful steward, serving in the fear of God. We can exercise that at our homes, at our church, at our workplace. We may not make it to the list of the Times Magazine's most influential people, but people around us will wonder why we are so peculiar people. Not only David ruled with the fear of God, exercising responsibility as a faithful steward. I thank the story that Donald told us this morning about collecting those money. I think that's a major temptation. But that's exercising a model, a lesson to children. Live under the principle of honoring and fear God. That's a great influence in our Christian's life. And also, in verse 5, "Is not my house right with God? Has he not made with me a covenant, an everlasting covenant, arranged and secure in every part? Will he not bring fruition my salvations and grant me my every desire?" Our Christian influence build up when we make right with God. Reconciles with him through the one who connects us back to God in our relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, "Is not my house right with God?" We knew the story about David's life. He was not a righteous man. He was a murderer. Adulterous, incest among his children. But one thing that stands out in the life of David, he wants to make right with God. He wants to reconcile with God. And he said to Nathan, "I'd rather fall in the hands of God because he's so merciful." My family, this morning, if we want to have a difference, we must experience the deliverings, the grace of God in our lives, experience by having the attitude of praises and thanksgiving, exalting God, humbling ourselves, and be communion with the Holy Spirit. Exercise our responsibility as faithful stewards in fear of God, and then make right with God. People will attract to us. If I be lifted up, Jesus Christ will draw all the world unto Him. My prayer this morning, may the last word of David challenge us. If you want to make the difference, experience the saving grace of God in our lives. Attitude of praises and thanksgiving. Rule with the fear of God. Make right, reconcile with one another. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. Father God in heaven, the world is looking for the most successful, influential people in the community and in society. But you have shown unto us our influence rooted and grounded in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, that we may uplift you up. Help us to be faithful stewards in our lives. Reconcile us with you and with one another, so the world will attract it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.